Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a trend presentation from April 2016. Miss Nora Kühne, independent fashion and design consultant, presents Changing the Game of Waste and Production, powered by Brunioli's BR4.
So there we go. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to this first early presentation this morning. I hope you had a good start into the day. My name is Pamela. I'm the head of CSR and sustainability for the European Outdoor Group, and I will be moderating all the different presentations throughout the day. So my role here is just to say hi, introduce the speakers, and if you do have questions, flag me down or write them at the back of your business card or a piece of paper, and we'll make sure to actually ask them to the speakers. And without much further ado, I would like to introduce Nora Kühne. She's going to be talking about the bigger picture of sustainability, closing the loop, recycling economy, and notably also the designer's role in that. But before that, I'll hand over briefly to Michela from Brunioli, because this presentation is featured by Brunioli, and they would like to introduce their new fabric, bio-based, so another step into the direction of closing the loop.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for this time and this stage to present you and introduce you some a big novelty for Brunioli, which is a 100% bio-based fabric, which is BR4. But beforehand, who is Brunioli and what is that? I mean, Brunioli is an Italian company based close to Milan that has more than 60 years of experience in producing and creating premium stretch knit fabrics for lingerie, swimwear, fashion, and sports already. All the Brunioli fabrics are always a combination between performances and technical aspects and style and design at the same time. So comfort is one of the key points for Brunioli fabrics. Let's say that of the quality of Brunioli, one of the big statements was to create and make an assessment and define a mission in terms of environment respectability. And let's say that we're in a world where innovation is a must and we know that results and performances are key, we ought to imagine and develop products which have to safeguard our world. And that's why Brunioli created and introduces BR4, bio-based fabrics, zero compromises between environment and performances. Let's see what they are. In reality, they are a perfect balance between main raw material based on EVO and the production process, which is made obviously by Brunioli. And at the same time, we have two aspects that have to be respected. On one time, the environment, and on the other side, all the performances of a fabric itself. What is the main raw material, EVO? It is a brand new raw material. It is a polyamide, which is 100% of biological origin. The biological origin of the polyamide is the castor bean. This is important because the castor bean is a plant which grows in a completely arid areas, so it means that it doesn't need any support in terms of water or in terms of chemicals, no impact on that. And at the same time, it doesn't affect the food chain, nor animal, nor human. And this, again, it's an important respect in that direction. In terms of global potential warming, it's extremely low at this stage because it is like 50% of a standard polyamide today. But with the production, it will be even lowered. So it is estimated to be at a normal production standard at about 1, which is extremely, extremely low. In terms of production process, in order to be able to work and elaborate the raw material in terms of a fabric, Brunioli engineered a specific production process dedicated to BR4, so this fabric family, which is European patent pending, I mean, extremely important for us, which guarantees a reduction in terms of water waste and energy consumption. So on top of the, let's say, basic and standard efforts that the company already does for any other fabrics. At the same time, because we have to guarantee, obviously, environmental, but also all the technical features of a fabric, the fabrics are extremely light. It means that the fiber itself is like 10% less of a standard polyamide. It has a low water absorption rate, so it means that you don't feel at all wet, and it is odor control already in the raw material. And in terms of fabric, you have an extreme comfort, you have a soft touch, extremely wonderful touch. It is super stretch and be elastic, and natural bacteriostatic and quick dry. It means that you have, the estimation is like 50% timing of dry compared to a normal polyamide. So let's say this is the balance between environment and performances. So let's say that BR4 are top quality fabrics with high performance standard and nature inside directly on your skin. We have developed a lot of structures, a lot of weights, meshes, jacquard, pique, I mean, for any kind of collection. It means both for lingerie, t-shirts, sports, and swimwear, that you can discover anytime here in our booth, which is right in front in 417 at Brugnoli booth. So we wait for you for any specific and additional questions. Thank you for your attention, and I pass the presentation and the stage to Nora. Thank you.
Thank you, Michaela.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Michaela. And with that, we go into the main act. Nora Kühner, a long time, very seasoned designer in the area of sportswear, and for a long time around when it comes to discussing the influence of design into the whole sustainability discussion. She will talk also about the role of smaller brands, and I think this is a very key point to be made in this context. I said again, we're open to discussion. Actually, we encourage to be ready to discuss. She will try and keep herself really short so that we have enough time to address your individual and specific questions. Thank you. Nora, your turn.
Thanks, Pamela, and thanks, Michaela. I would just wish to say one thing before, because when I heard that Brugnoli would do some introduction to my, or open a part for my lecture, I thought, okay, I'm interested what these guys are doing, or this lady. And when we met on Tuesday afternoon here, it was really nice for me to see that we share the same spirit. This is really, and also for discussing the play or the game of waste and production, or I wouldn't reduce it to just waste and production, just the way we are handling our economy today, I would say. So for me, and I think we all fully aware that we have to change the game. Maybe if we trust in development of artificial intelligence, within a few years the whole theme will be obsolete, because these people, all these robots, cyborgs, whatever, they don't need any clothing at all, so problem solved, definitely. So we don't have, at least our sector doesn't have to take care of anything anymore. Okay, but I think till then, we have to work really hard on changing the game, and this means for a long time, for decades, we have been thinking in volumes, we have been thinking in producing sameness in masses, because we wanted to standardize and to optimize, and of course to improve our margin. And this it led really to these pictures. So we have an overload also of clothing, we have landfill, we have a throwaway culture, shop till you drop. It's really we see now a peak of throwaway culture, I would say, because people don't appreciate really what clothing might be, what clothing can be. Clothing has no value. I think one day, sooner or later, if we continue in this way, one day we will have to pay the people that they they take our clothes. They don't buy anything anymore at a certain price, because we had nearly have 10 months a year we have sale action or sale things and reduction of prices and special offers. So how do we think that people should appreciate our product? We all struggle, I think most of us really struggle hard to bring good products to the market, and we work hard. And then it's just a throwaway article, which doesn't make any sense anymore in a world where we really have to reduce what we use of the planet. And of course, a lot of us, we all know that our supply chain is really super complex. And now people are telling us, if you want to be sustainable, you have to think in a circular economy, you have to close the loop. But how do you want to close such a loop? That's why I said, when I was asked to talk about sustainability or reduce, reuse, and so on, I said, I won't do anything about certificates, no new technologies or so. This is all important. But I think it's also the mindset which we have to change. And also our structures and processes. Because these processes have produced such an over-complex supply chain. And if people like the president of the German Textile and Clothing Association says full or 100% of transparency in the process is not possible, of course it is not. But this is not the excuse to do nothing or to blame the politicians or so. We have set up the supply chain. It's us, this industry, who set up the supply chain in order to optimize our margins, and so now we have this task and we should try to solve it. Just a statement from the CEO of Messe Munich, of ISPO, in last February. So facing climate change, we all know that this is true. It's not something some scientists tell us. So we have to become more flexible. We have to be closer to the market, closer to the people, and the market is people and not market something which has no gender, nothing. We talk about people, and nobody, really nobody, and we know it, wants down jackets in August in the shop. This is also one of the structures which is really stupid. And the people don't buy the stuff, and all the retailers get panicked in October when they haven't sold the sports clothing for winter, because there's no snowflake at all. So what about... The people are reasonable. They know I don't buy a jacket in August, and then I don't buy it even if a retailer is fully crazy, because I don't buy. So really, we have to rethink our structures and processes, and don't say, oh, sustainability, what a burden, and it costs. Because when I had taken over the role to make this speech, and I talked to people at ISPO, I talked to people at Premier Vision and colleagues from a branch, and most of them, whether they came from the Netherlands, from Brazil, from Germany or so, said, sustainability, oh, forget it. The industry doesn't want it because it costs, and the consumer or the user won't pay. But hey, come up. This is a really sporty challenge, and we are sports people. See, and sports means to try to reach the seemingly unattainable. So this is really a goal to fight to go for. So we are facing, and in other parts of the discussions about sustainability or how our society will continue in this 21st century, there's a lot of talking already. Of course, it's only bubbling at the fringes, but it's getting closer. The age of less. We see that we have more and more people living on Earth. We will really have to share what we have with more people, so the percentage of people who share the same things and the same resources is growing, and so we have to think in news about new solutions for this problem, and the current problem with refugees is only just the beginning, because we all know that there are circumstances in other parts of the world where people don't find enough food, they cannot grow food, and not only because they don't want, maybe, if you would say this. No, it's not just not possible. So the structures and processes for 20th century don't work, and we have to renew it, because this is true. Sustainability is not an option which you can choose or not or leave it aside, but it's really, we have to do it. So, and what I've also, I just told this morning, the taxi driver who started a discussion about too many cars on the roads and so on, and about the traffic, and then he came to overpopulation and feeding the people. There was just one thing: the natural resources already today are overexploded or exploited. So, and we, and what personally for me is a problem, that I always read now for the three, during the last 3 years, we have a constant flow of bad news about our industry. And I don't want to live with that as somebody who is part of the industry and who tries to do a good job. And when I saw this ad from last winter from Norona, I thought, this is why, yeah, here we write it. This is why we should be at the forefront. Nature, a perfect nature, is the perfect backdrop for our advertising, for our spirit. And sports is really deeply rooted in nature, because it was the reason why people started doing sports. They went out from the cities in the 1920s to find a good air to breathe and to move and to relax from the city. So this was the spirit. People went, left the cities and went to nature, just to do sport and to relax and to become healthier. And now we destroy it. What motivated me a lot, I had a project with Forispo, the master class for students who are interested in starting a design career in our sector. I asked them for statements before we came to Munich, and I loved this statement of a participant from Oregon, and I thought, this is exactly the message I want to transfer to you today. Yeah. I love the earth and I love sports, and we shouldn't have to sacrifice one for the sake of the other. And it was really astonishing to see young people from Oregon, from Beijing, from Lapland, from Sweden, and they all were just, it's not something special for them. They were all really, they appeared with a sustainable spirit, and the first thing they complained about was the coffee machine with all these capsules. I think I told you. Yeah. So even George Clooney cannot make the capsule sexy for them, because from a sustainable view, just bare nonsense. And so this comes, so these young people are already living it. So these are the seeds for a new spirit. It's self-evident, or it's just a matter of, a spirit who takes a bit care of others and not only of oneself. So, and this is a statement from last autumn, the director of the design school Eindhoven said, young designers are more interested in responding to real-world problems. I think this also is something which shows that the young people, the young generation, are already far advanced. They like to think about how to change the current system and what to do to take care of our scarce resources. And so I want to draw your attention to some nice and good startups, to ideas which are creative, which show also a certain playfulness, and don't always think, oh, I have set up these and these structures, and this is the system and how my company is working, so I cannot do anything about it. Because that was something I heard in January from a big, big company with lots of shops, and they said, sorry, Nora, we can't talk about this topic because our structures are like this. And I said, okay, sometimes structures like this may be like a kind of prison, and one day you will starve from hunger or anything like this. So rethink. And first thing is Rapa Nui, a brand I think you already might know. And they are just offering an easy way of also tracing where your product comes from, because this is something people really are interested in. Of course, you will say, okay, they don't pay for it. But don't look to the others. Look to yourself. And just make it easy for them to understand. And then they will do it. And maybe in this way you can prepare them to pay one day a bit more, or an appropriate price. I think we should not discuss about more, but saying an appropriate price for our things, products. Another thing, an idea I like very much, is this one, also to take care of the skills that we have and don't losing all to machines, but also to do handcrafted things, is with I owe you. And I think the question they set up is, do you know the man who made your clothes? And I think what I owe you for me is also telling, I owe you some respect for the work you are doing for me. So this is also a way to think about our structures of producing, of manufacturing growth. We owe respect to the people who produce for us. And so we have to make sure that we also give them the respect and the wages they have to earn. This is another initiative which I like very much. Also the claim, buy me once. So to produce things people love to have as a companion for their life. Not that they wear for one season or 1 week or so, but really to bring longevity and to the product, or to give, to provide a product with longevity, and then to make it a piece that people will keep for longer, that they will appreciate, that they maybe even will love. So it's also, there is also a kind of initiative with about loved pieces or loved again. So that this is really something that also a lot of people today are already doing. They share and they swap and whatever with clothing. But first, reuse. I think this is also something what we still are missing when we're doing or interpreting reuse, reuse, and so on. It can also look sexy if you give it a nice appeal. So it's not, we have to make sure that it looks good. It has a beautiful appeal to people with products. We don't have to to set up a staging which is always about, hey, we are aware and it's, we have to reduce, we have to shrink our waste and so on. It has to, we have to talk in a different way, which is what, it's beautiful to maybe to have less. We are living in an age where people are very nomadic, they travel around the globe, everybody wants to have less weight with them. Why not even have less clothing in your flat? Huh? And then to give it another appeal, of course, it's not something ugly just because I reuse something. Yeah? So here are the wastes and cutoffs from the textile industry, and this is what a student from the Netherlands did. And of course, as mentioned before, people already do a lot of exchange and swapping. You have heard of swapping parties. And here, exchange makes you happy. It's like sharing makes you happy, and you have community, you build, set up your community, and you have a good feeling. And this is something where we have to talk about also. And also via Repair Café, which are now coming into existence in a lot of cities, bigger cities, also where elderly people, for example, pass on their knowledge how to repair something to younger people. So it's really also community building activity. And it raises awareness to, that discarded objects might have some value again. Oh, this one, this thing, it was it started 5 years ago in Germany as a young group of young people, and they propose every springtime to do a diet, and this is a clothing diet. People are asked if you want to join to reduce to about it's about 40 pieces of clothing. Or 50, and for 6 weeks you put all the other clothing down in the cellar and don't use it. Just these 50 people. Can you make it? Can you live with that? Can you go to the office? Can you? It's just to show you that there are really a lot of beautiful, nice, and interesting ideas. Of course, it's not about mass production and a mass movement, but all these initiatives and projects show that there is a certain disconcern about the way we are living. So people start to react and to come up with new ideas to change this. And if you say, okay, this won't work for clothing, just look at the food sector. What has happened with food in the last 10 years? Because in Germany, it was really one of the most, one of the sectors which had a problem with prices very much. And so, and today, people start spending money again on food. It's also because health awareness has grown. So people also do it because they want to live healthy. And this is the same with sports. So I think we have some good arguments why we should be sustainable. And from food, another project I love very much is Fruit Lever. I don't know whether you have heard of this. And also here, the idea was how to get rid of the waste of the fruit market in Rotterdam. So and then they produce leather, and it's already Porsche, the BMW, and so they have shown interest in this project because this is very interesting. And so you have a 100% vegan veggie project product. So it really can be a new thrilling business, because otherwise, if I would have told you 10 years ago, here's something, nobody else does it up to now, you have a big chance to conquer the market, which said, okay, I will do it because I want to make business and I want to earn money. Yeah, but with sustainability, everybody says, it's difficult. So don't get left behind. And what people need, as mentioned before, it's emotion. We don't have to fill them only with numbers. We have to give them emotion. And the people want to be hooked first by the feeling, this is something nice, this is something attractive, this is something I would love to have. And when they see that it's also good for the planet, then this is the icing on the cake, and this is a perfect mixture. And then you can tell them that you are a good guy, very green company, and so on. This is also okay. But not in the forefront saying, oh, we do this and this, and you have to appreciate our product for this reason. First of all, it's about a feeling that oneself, that the people, the individual has. So, and we have such a lot of really, really strong advertising messages, and I would say, why does this guy doesn't just cry out loud, all in, sustainability or nothing, start. Yeah, we will make it. Okay, and on a side of Michael Jordan, okay, the picture in the background is not fitting his kind of sports. It takes courage to change the game. So, yeah, be courageous, and let's change the game. Thanks.
Thank you, Nora. It's quite interesting to see the brands that were just mentioned and also the larger impact some of those have. And having seen Rapa Nui, and people who might be familiar with them, Rapa Nui back in 2010-11 suggested a label very akin to the energy label on your fridge, on your microwave, you know, with the ABC. For consumers to see, but on clothing. Strange enough, roll forward to 2015-16, it's part of a way bigger discussion at the European Commission level, whether or not they might want to introduce consumer labeling for clothing by 2020. We don't know where it's going, but strange enough, that design's popped up again in the heads of people. But to move on from there, it's like one thing that I've been circulated a question, and maybe that's a question I would like to kick the Q&A off. So flag me down if you've got a question. I'll be running to you then and wing my mic in front of you so you can ask your question live. But one question I've been circulated over there is the question, well, there are a number of companies that use sustainability in one way or another. Yet most consumers do not understand it. Some consumers aren't even aware that some brands do anything whatsoever. Well, what is the problem? Why? What do brands do? Is it just greenwashing? And on the other hand, why do consumers not know or understand?
Yeah, okay. Also, when I mentioned before the masterclass at ISPO, and a lot of the students asked me before, Nora, seems that there is a lot going on of kind of greenwashing, or maybe we can trust them, but we don't know. So the students were really thinking that we could do a better job, but we also have to better communicate to the end user. And I think this is really something that, as I mentioned before, we talk about sustainability in a manner or in a way that is really hard to transfer this complex topic to the end consumer. And a lot of people, believe me, don't read the hang text. I have a husband. My husband is always stripping them down and throw it away without having even read what is going on. So. We human beings are lazy. We want to have comfort. And so we have really to make it easy for them to understand. And that's why we have to live it. I think this is the more important thing, that we live sustainability just as we breathe. We have to, it's something we have to do. Like you switch on the light and you switch it off when you leave the house, maybe. Yeah, and don't care about the end consumer first, how to bring your image to the market. But it's more important to make them feel good with this project. And then they are also open for sustainability, because really that is there. But if you tell them in the forefront, hey, I have been sustainable with this project, and therefore you have to pay €4 more, then you will fail. I think this is the real problem. You have, because we have no value at the moment for our clothing. And how should are people supposed to believe in our pricing? Because we give them something in August for €300, and in October they can get the same stuff at maybe 120. So how are you? They don't trust us. This is really at the moment also a problem. That's why we're always asking, oh, greenwashing. It's not serious what they do. So any other questions?
Which really the point you're making is that sustainability at the end of the day is not tacking on credentials, but actually creating and leveraging value that you have in your product, in your production, and with your brand.
Yeah.
Questions right now? Because okay, let me ask another one that I was given before. As Nora was talking, designers have a really hard job in today's world. They work against the budget of merchandising, against the quality of fabrics. Lead times, now we're tacking on sustainability. Does that any good to the design cycle to start with? And what is a designer supposed to think about that?
I think this is really a question I like very much, as I'm a designer, and I'm really, I come from design, and of course I'm now focusing on other things, but this is also something which a lot of designers, of the younger ones not, but the elder ones, they have a problem, because they feel restricted sometimes, this will restrict my creative freedom. It's not at all. As I said before, it's a thrilling new business. It's a thrilling new design challenge also to discuss and to think about new ways of creating and doing any doing improvement of our current projects. I had a lot of talkings yesterday, and you really feel that also the industry sees the need to come up with new design items and new design or the ways of designing and how to handle their new developments in this sector. And so I think it's really a good and really thrilling task. But you have to give to designers the chance that they can really think and develop. And this is something which is today in our fast-paced industry and in the product development process, which is very restricted in time, and all the with facilities are over there in overseas, and you cannot go to just around next corner and try with somebody who is able to develop your ideas maybe further. So I think we really have to give to the design departments, we have to give them the possibility and the time to work on these new developments that fabric suppliers and others offer us.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to performancedays.eu. Copyright April 2016 by Design and Development GmbH, Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.